We are live with Ashley, who's not been on the channel before. Ashley is a Epstein survivor, and we're going to hear her story for the first time. All of Ashley's links for Epstein Justice on the various socials, they're all in the description box. I'll put them in the live chat as well. Huge thank you for coming on, Ashley. And
Thank you.
we salute you for speaking out about these monsters. And our viewers like to go on the journey, of your life. What happened, how you got into this. So if we could just go back to the start, what was it like for you growing up? What led to this?
So growing up, it was, well, for a while, it was just me and my mom. She was a flight attendant, and she actually had to fly with me overseas a few times because she didn't have a sitter for long enough. When I was 5 or 6, my mom met my stepdad, and they got married and had a baby when I was 8, my sister. And my stepdad, he was a lot of fun, but he also had a very hard childhood. There was a lot of abuse in his childhood that he hasn't dealt with. And he had never been a father. And I think it was a hard adjustment for him. It wasn't so easy growing up. There was a lot of abuse, a lot of excessive control, narcissism, the typical, like, rough childhood story. When I was 13, I think somebody called me late at night, and he ended up cutting off all my hair. And after that, probably before that, but I just started becoming rebellious. I still was doing good in school. I worked, I was cheerleading, ballet. I did things, like, I was active, always active. When I was 15 or 16, I started working at a barbecue restaurant in Royal Palm. And that's, I worked there for probably about 2 years. And during that 2 years, I became friends with one of my coworkers, Tony, who just so happens to be Virginia's ex-boyfriend. And one day he asked me if I wanted to make $200 to go give one of his rich friends on the island. That's what we called it, Palm Beach Island. Make $200 to give him a massage for an hour. And I figured, why not? What's the worst that could happen? Which, of course, is a very ignorant, naive thing to think, but that's what you are at that age. So I went, and the first time, he grabbed me and was touching himself. And I just remember thinking, like, this guy is so rich. And the woman that led me up the stairs, Sarah Kellen, so beautiful. There was, like, a few beautiful people out by the pool. I'm like, this must have been a fluke. There's no way that this guy is going to risk all of his life for just me when he has all these beautiful women around him. So I went back a second time thinking, like, surely it'll be okay. But it escalated, and I didn't go back. And I told, like, two people, my high school best friend and this girl that I have recently met who came with me the first time, but she was asked to stay in the kitchen. And I told her, but after that, I didn't talk about it until, like, 2007, 2008, when he was arrested the first time in Palm Beach.
So was it the arrest? Did that like bring back memories and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, when I saw his face the first time, I was like, oh my God, that's the guy. And all that time, I thought I was the only one. So it was, that was a lot to process, to try to process that this was so big.
So everyone who's watching, it's all love and support in the chat. And if anyone's got questions for Ashley while we're live, please put them in the chat. So were you contemplating taking action at that point, or was it too soon?
It was too late. The whole story had only really broke in a larger scale after he was arrested, prosecuted. Like, the sweetheart deal had already been in place. And so I was like, well, I'll never get my own justice because, you know, double jeopardy, you can't be tried for the same crime twice. So when he was arrested again in 2019, I was like, oh my gosh, maybe it's my chance.
Yeah, so hearing, you know, about the sweetheart deal, Acosta, and basically giving him a pass, how did that make you feel?
I don't think I understood it at the time when it happened. I just felt like my chance was over, but at least, you know, he's being punished. Looking, once I started learning more and digging deeper, which just happened recently because now you can't escape it. It's unfathomable that all the evidence, all of the charges that they had, what he actually received as punishment.
Yeah, it just shows that the system was protecting him. So he gets arrested a second time then. Where was your mindset at the second time?
I don't want to say elated because I don't feel like that's the right adjective. But I was really, really hopeful that they were going to get it right this time. And I reached out to the FBI within days of him being arrested.
And then he ended up getting unalived in the prison. You know, well, the speculation, yeah, could still be alive even. Just seeing that news then, how did that make you feel?
It was devastating. After 2008, to have any chance of like actual justice and him facing accountability ripped away again, it was really hard.
And wasn't there like a process where survivors could apply, you know, to get compensated and stuff like that? Were you able to do that at least?
Yeah, I did, which was kind of another slap in the face because of the non-prosecution agreement that we had to sign, which is not a non-disclosure agreement. A lot of people think that we signed NDAs. Some of us may have, but the majority of us signed a non-prosecution agreement, which means I can tell everybody, I just can't go after these people. I'm sorry, I totally lost.
No, you're doing absolutely fine. One of the viewers is asking whether, you know, there was any other co-conspirators that you interacted with, or did you meet any of the other girls?
So, no, like I said, I didn't know that there was even one other girl like me until 2008. But Sarah Kellen is the woman that led me up the stairs.
Right. So, you didn't have any interaction with Maxwell?
Mm-mm. No. I have no similar names.
How do you feel about, you know, Maxwell getting put in a soft prison then with the puppy program, and she gets to spend days with the feds and the survivors are ignored?
Yeah, it's become a common feeling to continuously be slapped in the face, so to speak, of course. I want to say I'm shocked and how could they? And I mean, I do, but at the same time, I'm not shocked because nothing about this case makes sense besides older, really wealthy people liked younger people. That's the only thing that makes sense.
One of the viewers is asking, are you aware that Sarah Kellen might be writing a book?
I think she's in the process of writing a book and wanting to come out as a survivor and stand with us.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about that?
I can't stand with her. At least so, not yet. And some other girls are okay with it. That just, it's not me. I'm not there.
You know, you've got a few of the viewers asking whether you have any knowledge of the island or Zorro Ranch. But your location was Florida, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, Epstein had a pyramid scheme where at the local high school where he was getting girls either to come in or to be recruiters. Were you aware that that was happening at the time?
No, I had no idea. Because I was recruited in such a different way by a guy at work. I went to a private school, so I didn't have that environment of like a bunch of girls that were being recruited by a bunch of other girls. Like my class had 60 people in it, so it was really small.
And you said it was Virginia's ex-boyfriend. And was he her boyfriend at the time?
Looking back, I think so. Either that or she had just left.
And were you able to communicate with Virginia over the years?
No. The first time I met any other girls, women, besides one of us that I went to medical assisting school with, actually. But we had no idea that we were involved when we were in school until the 2019 meeting after Epstein had killed himself. But other than that, the only time I've ever met any of us was right after Virginia passed away. We had a memorial down south. And so that was just a little over a year ago that I've actually had this community of us.
And you're getting asked about whether you think other survivors will come out.
Unfortunately, a lot of us have been forced out with the release of the files. I can think of four of us just off the top of my head that the only reason they've started to speak out publicly is because their information was released by the FBI.
So you think it's damage control?
As far as I'm concerned,
for the elites, it's damage control for the elites. Perpetrators.
I think it's got to be something that isn't on the up and up because I've seen an entire list, one name after another, of survivors, and there's one name in the middle that's redacted. That whole list should have been redacted. How do you go to the middle and redact one? Like, that's not something that you do on accident.
So, you know, Trump, Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, Bongino, Todd, you know, they all campaigned that they were going to get in, help the survivors, release the Epstein files, etc. Do you think that they have defaulted on those promises?
I do. And I think, and this just might be me trying to think that everybody is always like trying to do the right thing, which is also very ignorant and naive, I know. But I think they meant to, at least I hope they meant to. And then I think they saw what was in the files. And I mean, even what has been released, it's bringing down people all over the world. So I think they realized that they probably bit off more than they could chew. safety.
Why do you think there's been no other arrests in the America? There's been a couple of, you know, we saw ex-Prince Andrew here get called into the cop shop, and Mandelson, the politician, they're under investigation for selling state secrets to Epstein. But why do you think there's no, like, police investigations going on in America?
I have no answer for that. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's almost like it is like a mockery of everything that we've tried to get done, what we've been through. It's a mockery of any survivor, not just Epstein. You know, what is this showing the world, that when you come forward and like nothing happens, people don't get in trouble?
So Paul's wondering, they released the survivors' names to try and intimidate and silence them. It's absolutely disgusting. Did you feel intimidated by the feds? And also, did you feel scared when Virginia passed?
Yeah. It's crazy because it seems like a year before Virginia passed, another one of us passed. And then Virginia, and then almost a year later, another one of us passed. And they're all similar odd circumstances, kind of like the way Epstein passed and Jean-Luc Brunel. It's like too similar to not question.
So we're supposed to believe, you know, the three major people arrested, two of them supposedly ended it themselves in prison in the exact same fashion.
Yeah.
We're supposed to believe they did it themselves. It's preposterous. I'm surprised Maxwell is still breathing, to be honest.
I know. Me too.
There's been allegations that because Maxwell was part of the Robert Maxwell, you know, Mossad, CIA, intelligence agency operation, she's been spurred somehow. Do you think there's credence to that bigger picture?
It's one of the possibilities that makes a lot of sense. One of the very few possibilities that makes a lot of sense.
Joe's asking, have you been able to meet with other survivors from the Palm area, i.e. Jenna, Lisa Jones? How triggering is it for you to know how widespread worldwide this was or is? And how deep and deviant it seems regarding children and babies.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, take that. There's like three questions there. Let's go with the first one. Meeting other survivors from Palm area, i.e. Jenna.
So Jenna's actually the one that I went to medical assisting school with, and we became really close. And like we raised our kids together. We did holidays together. And that was probably 7 to 10 years before I walked into the FBI headquarters after Epstein had killed himself, maybe. And she walked up to me and hugged me, and I couldn't believe it that this dear friend of mine was involved. And then just about a month and a half ago, I was watching a BBC interview, and one of us that had been outed in the files was on, and I was supposed to be there, so she had taken my place, and I was like, wait a minute, I know her. And after like really reflecting, like we went to church together, we went to church camps together, like we were really good friends, and to see that she is involved in the files, like in Epstein, she was one of us. It's continuously expanding, and it's almost unfathomable, like how big it really was. Let me see. Triggering. Yes, that's the question that I was just on. It's like unfathomable to see the scope.
Are you able to just give us a little bit of what Jenna's story is? Was it something similar to yours?
Pretty much all of the girls from Palm Beach have a very similar story. The only differences really are maybe how we were brought, how many times we went, if we brought anybody else. But other than that, the abuse and the scope of our experience is pretty, they're all pretty similar.
And
but I won't speak to anybody else's experience specifically.
And in your case, it was two instances at Epstein's Florida property.
Correct.
Okay, so the next part of this question is, how triggering is it for you to know how widespread this was?
I feel like I touched on that.
Yeah, you did.
With the church and like people just keep appearing that I've known in my past. And it's like there's no precedent to process this. And it's very upsetting that the government failed so bad for so long. And so many of these girls, these precious lives, like that have intertwined with mine, could have totally turned out differently had they just done their jobs.
Did it boggle your mind as all these huge names came out, Clinton, Bill Clinton on the flight logs so many times, Trump in the files so many times, all these famous people, scientists, it's everywhere, royal family members. I mean, it's almost made your head explode. It's so big. What happened?
Yeah. And this kind of, I can tie this into the last part of this question as well, as far as the children and babies. More and more stuff comes out, and I can't help but wonder, like, how close was I to the really, really dark stuff? Like, how many times more would I have gone in order to be flown somewhere, to do something, to like be closer to what Virginia experienced? And, my mom has been a conspiracy theorist my whole life. So everything that the darkest stuff that's in the files, my mom has talked about for years, not specifically with Epstein, but just the depravity. And to see everything that she said come out in the files, it absolutely mind-blowing that level of darkness I was so close to. And it's just unfathomable. I keep saying that word.
And then, and then you hear about all kinds of rituals and sacrifices and jerky and shrimp and pizza, and it gets darker and darker the more we research it. So Jordan wants to know, in your opinion, then, what's your opinion about the theory that Epstein might still be alive?
Literally nothing would surprise me, except to learn that maybe he actually did kill himself. That would surprise me. I wouldn't doubt at all that he is alive and well and watching all of this unfold with glee.
All right. So, you get through this horrific situation and you've become an activist then. And we've got all the links for Epstein Justice in the description. I'll put them in the live chat as well. What started Epstein Justice?
Actually, it was an investigative journalist. I believe you've had him on the show, Nick Bryant.
Oh, yes. Nick's great, isn't he? He's doing such good work. Yeah.
He's amazing. There was a few people, I believe, that were involved in its founding, but their main goal is for an independent congressional committee, which is obviously independent of anybody in office right now. And they are supposed to, in a non-biased way, try to get to the bottom and actually, indict people and talk to people. But it's a slow process, but the petition's in there. And it doesn't have to be approved by, it doesn't have to be signed off on by a president. It doesn't have to be approved by Congress or Senate. It just has to have enough votes, enough signatures.
So what do you think about the work that Thomas Massie has done and Marjorie, and they've been called traitors by Trump?
I'm so thankful for them for being traitors. honestly, I myself am a conservative, so to have my whole party try to shy away from what the campaign was, it hurt, like, personally. So for them to stand up, it's really nice. It's nice to see.
So another viewer question, if you remember anything about the Florida property, because in the New York property, for example, there was a lot of creepy art, eyeballs, and, you know, weird things. Were there weird things in the Florida property?
So I tried not to look around. I tried to not be intrusive, which is silly now thinking about it. But really the only thing that stood out in the Florida mansion was kind of how tacky it was. He had the black and white checkered floor in the kitchen. Now looking back, it's like I'm seeing black and white checkered floors in so many cult studies that I'm doing. So now I'm like, is that related? And the pink carpet, it was just so tacky, and the tacky, brassy gold everywhere. That's really all I remember about the inside.
Okay, you got a question here then. Did you want to stay private? Is there a charity you can form to support all the survivors?
A lot of us are forming different charities and groups for survivors, which is wonderful. I did want to stay private, but the story just got so big, and then Virginia passed. And so not only could I not escape it, but it was also very suffocating and isolating having all of this and having it talked about around you constantly and not being able to say anything. And so when Virginia passed, one of us said that her voice was equal to like 15 of ours. And it clicked for me that if I stayed quiet, like, I'm not helping her work, the effort that she put in, the fight that she fought, move forward. And it's not beneficial to any of us. And I was just at a place that, you know, I felt like it was my turn. These women have been fighting for so long and screaming for so long. I just felt too guilty to stay quiet.
Yeah, I understand. Amber's asking, what are your coping mechanisms?
I don't know, honestly. I just started counseling probably about 2 years ago, for the first time, like, ever. I think talking to the other survivors is probably one of the biggest coping mechanisms that I have, because not a lot of people understand what this is on a regular basis. People don't normally have the face of their abuser spread all over the world constantly. And the amount of injustice, it's just kind of unprecedented. So to have this group and to be like, I feel like this and I think I'm crazy. And then to have them say, no, I feel that too. And maybe we are crazy, but at least we're both crazy.
That's good that you've got the support group. Do you think the lack of justice, it makes you give up hope that anyone will ever be truly held accountable, the co-conspirators?
It's very hard to keep hope, extremely hard. That's why we keep screaming, though. And, you know, maybe we will never get actual justice, but the world's going to know it.
Yeah, the world certainly is knowing it. George says, all that is left is for the victims to bring legal suits against the perpetrators with the evidence. Unfortunately, there appears not to be the damning evidence and the money to help. It's terrible.
It is. And that's kind of like what I was saying earlier with the non-prosecution agreement. It felt so dirty to sign with the way it was worded, like that we can't go after any entity, any person, known or unknown, that had anything to do with him. You know, had I thought about it, had I really had time to sit with it, I'm not sure that I would have signed it. I'm not sure I would have taken that settlement. But I did. Actually, my attorney, well, former, I suppose, they tried to get that overturned, the non-prosecution agreement, and the judge was siding with him. And then when Epstein died, the judge said it was a moot point and just didn't do it.
Do you think that speaking out, do you hope it will inspire other survivors to feel safe and come forward?
I hope if anything, they know that they're not alone. And I want so badly for them to feel like they can go to law enforcement and that they will be taken seriously, and their perpetrators will be punished. And in a lot of cases, that is the case. What really hurts and is hard is knowing that the world is watching survivors be failed again and again and again. And I hate the thought that that might cause someone to question whether or not they can go to law enforcement.
So, Ashley, you've answered all of the questions. And is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers? And thank you for doing this.
Just thank you for having me on. I want to thank all of your viewers for all of the support. I watch your show all the time, and you've done such extensive coverage over so many different aspects of this. So thank you for that, for not letting it die, and for even starting as many years ago with just a little idea is what it seemed, and just wanting answers. Thank you.
Oh, well, we salute your bravery and all of the survivors, and RIP Virginia. And yeah, we've had some ups and downs on the channel over the years discussing this stuff. It's been crazy. But all of the viewers who are watching the live chat right now, nothing but love and respect for you. So we wish you all the best in your endeavors. And again, huge thank you for coming on, Ashley, and spending this time. Cheers. All right, take care.
Bye. You too.
Bye. Oh, what an amazing, beautiful soul, folks. And thank you for supporting Ashley. And all of Ashley's links, I'll put them in the live chat again right now. They're in the description box if you want to get on the Epstein justice. I know people are asking about the shirt I'm wearing. It's the Ryan Dawson. It's from Ryan Dawson's store. He's got so many cool items of clothing and other stuff in his shop. Yeah, I'm putting it in the the live chat right now. It's in the description box as well, antineocon.com. And we did have Ryan on this morning talking about Epstein, ex-Prince Andrew, a lot on the Iran war kicking off again. And we also did some on Henry Novak as well. So a variety of subjects that we discussed with Ryan today. It was over an hour long. If you missed that one, actually, when I hit the end screen button, then it will take you to it. And also, we've got at 4 p.m. tomorrow, we've got Glenn Deason coming on, who is a geopolitical analyst, talking about the Mossad Maxwell organization, enterprise. And we'll also be doing some Iran war with him as well. So I hope to see some of you tomorrow, 4 p.m. in that one.